B-Pod Studios.
We got to talk to D-Gun from NBC Sports.
It's a pretty good way to end the show, though. That's a good way to end it. We do need a better ending, too. We didn't have really an ending. Now we have the ending.
Yeah. Well, we'll solicit if people want to give us good end of the show songs, too. We like that. Because you had the, which one did you have? This is the end. Is that Frank Stallone?
Did we have Frank? No. We did have Frank Stallone, yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Frank Stallone. But I love it. We were joking around, but, you know, with it.
Yeah.
Was it Frank Stallone or the other guy? I guess it was Frank Stallone.
I think it's Frank Stallone. Yeah. This is the, it sounds like the song from, one of the songs from, like, Scarface.
Yes.
Produced in that
Giorgio
Moroder.
Correct.
Kind of vein. But one, we just heard from Brandon Graham. He was actually mic'd up during the game. We got to play him mic'd up a little later.
Yeah.
And the great dynamic exists between our next guest and Brandon Graham.
They did a feature, and he's got to know about this, of course, but they did a feature on BG during the telecast, and they showed BG hugging D-Gun. It was awesome. Did you know about this?
I didn't know about it until a couple of hours after the game, and I started getting these texts, and they said, you were on the Fox pregame open. I said, what are you talking about?
Really?
Obviously, I'm on the field. I have no way of seeing this stuff, so... No, I wasn't aware of it until after the game was over.
It was awesome, D. So, you know, it's the problem. We're all hyped pregame, the whole thing, and they do a BG feature. He didn't think he was going to be back, and he said his teary goodbyes, even to the media. And then you see BG hugging Derek Gunn. It was awesome.
So by default, I got my 15 seconds of national fame.
You look good, man. It was good.
I just happened to be a prop in his story.
Yeah, but I was impressed. Hey, look, we're all props in life, right?
It's their
story. We're just here to be a conduit, right? So, look, that's a big prop right there, man.
That's a perfect way to put it.
D-Gun, they come out of week one, a little bit of a rusty first half on, I guess you can say, both sides of the ball. But, you know, you saw Carson in camp. We fans didn't see any of Carson really in camp because he didn't play any preseason. When you saw what he accomplished in that second half of the football game, dialed in, looking great, great pocket awareness, great ability to throw every, you know, use every throw in that he's got, and for them to come back in that game from a 27 deficit to end up winning against the Redskins. What was your assessment of Carson Wentz and his play for the Eagles in week one?
Well, the first quarter plus was exactly what I was anticipating. You know, none of the offensive regulars hardly played together in the preseason. I thought it took them a quarter plus to kind of get rid of some of that offseason rust. But once they settled in, they figured out what the Redskins were doing. And Carson got in that rhythm, man, he was unstoppable, especially in third down situations in that second half. And then once they started not just running the ball, but you look at some of the gaping holes they had up the middle for backs to run through to help set up those passes, man. And they looked like a complete offense in that second half. And granted, you know, some guys didn't get as many touches as they wanted to, but that's going to be the case week in and week out. I think with this offense and this personnel, you know, you look at a lot of offenses around the National Football League, and you always know one or two guys are going to be the featured guys in their offense. With this offense, it could be any given body, any given week. And I know that's got to give a lot of defensive coordinators nightmares because you don't know exactly what to defend for in a game against this offense.
I agree. I do. I mean, when you look at this offense and the multitude of options, see, Deshaun makes the whole thing, because when you have that kind of speed on the outside with that kind of pass catching ability, he's the best deep threat in the NFL. I mean, and so
at 32,
you go into you're a DC, you go into the whole thing going, all right, well, I can't give up these bombs. So I got to roll safeties, and right off the bat, you're giving up the run. You're hurting your run defense right off the bat, and then you throw in all the other weapons. You know, this we always talked about him being the great space the great space maker. It's him.
There's no question about it. You start rolling a safety over to his side, you can't have a safety cheat up, especially a lot of teams that like to play the single high safety, which now starts to open up a lot of the running lanes. And then you look at the diversity they have in the backfield. You know, and I know Miles Sanders, he had 11 carries, 25 yards. I didn't get a chance to show a lot, but, you know, mark my word, I think sooner rather than later, this kid is going to be the feature back in his backfield this season. I know Doug likes to talk about his running back by committee, but because of this kid's quickness, his ability to get out in open space, he's going to be a problem in terms of matching up in the receiving game as well. I can see this young man already starting to get more regular season touches than Jordan Howard or Corey Clement. And, you know, Darren Sproles, you know, you look at the volume of touches that a Darren Sproles had in this game. I think that's way too many for Darren Sproles. He's a phenomenal talent, future Hall of Famer, maybe not a first ballot, but he's a future Hall of Famer. But I don't think you need to have Darren Sproles have as many touches as he had for him to be just as effective as he needs to be in a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to get into this a little bit because I agree with you. And I think Sanders does. He looks sleek. He looks like an elegant type of back.
Blitz pick up.
But I will tell you this. Jordan Howard, I love the way he runs, man. He's downhill. He's with this line because this line needs to go forward, right? Remember the two runs in the first half, second quarter? He had back-to-back runs where there were like the first two real positive plays. And I thought Doug missed a little bit of an opportunity because he went from there, he went to a wide receiver screen. But the point is that he should, when you're downhill, you got to feed him. Like, you can't forget about Jordan Howard.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Jordan Howard. He's that banger between the tackles. To me, he's like a combination of a LeGarrette Blount and a Jay Ajayi. He keeps the legs moving. He tires out a defense. When you see defensive players bending over with their hands on their knees, then you know that's when he's being most effective, especially late in the game when you got a nice lead and you want to sit on the lead.
Yeah, your four-minute offense. Yeah.
I look at him as an 18-wheeler. I look at the Miles Sanders as your Ferrari, and him as your 18-wheeler. So the combination and how they complement each other, it's unbelievable. And it's only the first game, and I understand that. And as the season goes along, you're going to have coordinators make different adjustments to attack the running game as well. I understand it. We all understand that. But, man, it is a thing of beauty to watch and watch the chess match that Doug Peterson can play with defenses across the NFL this year.
No doubt. Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hey, Derek, defensively, on the other side of the ball, certainly there was a little rust offensively. You saw what happened in that first half and Case Keenum going up and down the field on the Eagles, putting up 20 points in the first half. Was that a byproduct of rust, or should we be a little bit concerned about this defense and their lack of ability in that game in particular to get home, to get some sacks and force some disruption on Case Keenum in that first half? Is that rust, or is that a legit concern going forward?
As I look back on this, I think it's a combination of the two. I'm trying to give them a benefit of the doubt that it's rust. You know, Fletcher didn't play all preseason, didn't practice a whole lot. They preserved him until the regular season started. He looked good. And now that you've lost Malik Jackson, that's going to hurt a little bit. I hope it's attributed more to rust than a sample of what we're going to see throughout the course of the season. But I do have genuine concerns about that pass secondary. I mean, this was a secondary that finished 30th in the league last year in pass coverage. It got better as the season went along because they played a lot of kids. And let's face it, those kids really stepped up. But, okay, those same kids now coming out of the gate this year. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, this is not – Aaron Rodgers, this is not Tom Brady throwing a football. This is Case Keenum throwing a football. Now, granted, Terry McLaurin, I was shocked that he lasted until the third round when
he
came
he's terrific, but these are young. These kids.
Green.
That Washington receiver core is a young, inexperienced core. They should not be getting exploited.
Exactly. That's my point, Ant. I mean, they got their baptism last year, so these kids should be good to go this year for the Eagles in their secondary. Now, the way I'm looking at it now, we may have to sprinkle a little holy water, call in a priest, or do something, or baptize some players, man, because now you're talking about a trio of wide receivers that are big, physical, and can flat-out move. This Eagles secondary, I don't think they have anybody in the secondary that can flat-out out-physical a physical wide receiver. So positioning and technique is going to be everything, but it's all predicated with these guys putting pressure on Matt Ryan up front. And if I'm the Falcons offense and I'm looking at how the Redskins went to max protect to allow Keenum to do some of the things they do, that makes me a real nervous about the Falcons passing game, especially if Falcons team is going home for its first home game of the season. They're ticked off because they shot themselves in the foot a lot of ways. In Minnesota, they turned the ball over early, and all of a sudden they were down 14-0. They played better in the second half. So there's a whole lot of dynamics to go back and forth with as we look ahead to this game.
Yeah, and you got to tackle. I mean, once again,
oh my goodness.
There's nothing more frustrating than when, you know, you see Darby trying to tackle or you see that group. I mean, you got to get better. You got to tackle.
That play where Vernon Davis, who's 95 years old, leaped 2 inches off the ground and hurdled one DB, hurdled Darby, who went under him like a matador. Yeah. And you have Zendejo. I guess he thought he was going to push him out of bounds. And then McLeod also. I mean, McLeod is known for tackling. And all of a sudden, you got three Eagles jerseys, you know, bumping into each other. And this guy, 95 years old, is hobbling to the end zone.
Yeah.
If I'm Jim Schwartz, I'm showing them that tape over and over and over all week long. We cannot have this as the competition gets better.
Hey, real quick, just talking about Jim. Yo, this Falcon offense, you got to pressure. You got to pressure Matt Ryan.
No question.
Because if they sit back and they just rush four and he's got time, you're dead back there.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ant, but if their pressure's not getting home and all of a sudden the Falcons adjust and they're killing you with the crossing routes over the middle, and again, I don't know if I trust these guys to tackle one-on-one in a lot of situations. It's a hit or miss. You know, Jim Schwartz gets a lot of criticism from fans on social media. And if you look at what Jim's working with, he doesn't have an overall star-studded defense like some teams do. And I'm not sitting here making excuses to Jim Schwartz. But if you think about it, he only has, a couple of Pro Bowlers on his defense. So considering what he's working with.
A lot of money. He does have a lot of money tied up in his line, which he likes.
Okay, what about the first line of defense?
Yeah, listen, the line. Forget the linebackers. I'm talking about the line, and I'm talking about the secondary. They spend money there. They spend draft picks there. I mean, you know, they're trying, right? Like, he's trying to give them the corners, and he's trying to give and he gives them a line. But the thing with Schwartz, D-Gun, I'm sure you'll agree to this. Listen, he's a I've said it a million times, professional defensive coordinator, right? I mean, he's not going to give up a ton of points. You know, like the Eagles, I think, have given up the least amount of points. We heard Sal Powell had a stat like that the other day.
Right.
But here's the problem, is that we don't jive with the bend but don't break. It goes back to freaking Swamp Fox, right? Like, this town likes Jim Johnson, right? We like pressure. That's what we're raised on.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that's why there's all – there. As long as he – employs it the way he employs it, there's always going to be grousing because we're expecting pressure and turnovers and momentum.
Okay, and if your pressure's not getting home and it's bombs away week in and week out, then we're all complaining that Jim Schwartz is allowing teams to bomb away.
I don't think so. I think people understand. I think they're smart enough to grasp
risk reward.
I'm not questioning the intelligence of those of us who observe the game. I'm just saying it was a lot of similarities to what we saw last year. I mean, you know, you do one thing, another thing happens. You do the other thing. I mean, that's the case with a lot of teams in the league. You give and you take. What is your strength? What is your weakness?
Yeah.
You know, so that's my only point.
Yeah, it's cause and effect for sure.
I agree. I like I said before, I think he's a professional. He knows what he's doing. You know, just I think styles. I think we're all partial to certain styles.
Sure. There's no question about it.
Hey, D-Gun, what do you got coming up on Quick Slants and pre- and post-game live for some prime-time action on Sunday?
Well, tonight on Quick Slants, Barrett Brooks and I, we will have our friend from NBC Sports, Josh Norris. Everybody loves the fantasy football. Josh will give a little insight on who to look for this weekend. And then, of course, on Eagles pregame live coming up Sunday, it's not a 60, but a 90-minute edition of Eagles pregame live. From 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Reuben, Frank, and I will be down in Atlanta. Of course, you know the cast, the crew in the studio each and every Sunday. So tune in. And of course, after the game, you know Brandon Graham, whether I pick the Eagles or not, he's going to yell at me. And, we'll get you all the interviews and all the pertinent comments after
always
the game.
Always great. Great stuff
as well.
On NBC Philly. Great game day stuff you guys have.
D-Gun, man, we appreciate it. That's the lock of the week. You and BG going to be going at it.
We got to get our own reality show, man. I got to find a sponsor for this.
I love it. Hey, man, we'll talk to you next week, Derek. Safe travels.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.